and be with him in the garden and try and be awake with him. Welcome back, everybody. Today is Thursday, which is Holy Thursday.
And it's wonderful to see you. A special thank you to you who've been traveling and journeying with us in this Lenten journey for quite a while. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a real joy to read your comments and to learn from you and to get feedback. Mm-hmm. I feel like we are journeying with some friends, although we haven't met.
I just wanted to mention that tomorrow, which is Good Friday, will be our final video for this Lenten series. If you are on our mailing list, you will also get a video for Saturday and Sunday, the videos that we did last year when we reflected on St. Alphonsus of Liguori's sermons for Lent. I think the next thing will likely be the Novena to the Holy Spirit, which is leading up to the big feast of Pentecost. So just keep that kind of tucked away so that you know that that's coming.
Yeah, in the meantime, after we're done the Lenten series, we're going to still come to you every Wednesday, at least, maybe twice a week, but at least every Wednesday.
Right. Sorry, I forgot about that. That's been a consistent for like 2 years, the Wednesday videos. This evening, when we go to adore him publicly at the altar of repose, we too will find him again. He sees us and recognizes us. We can speak to him as the apostles did, and recount to him what concerns us and what gives us great joy. And we can thank him for being amongst us, and we can accompany him while recalling his generous self-giving. Jesus always awaits us in the tabernacle. I just feel like Holy Thursday is such a holy night. So most of you will have your parishes open for the, I guess it's called the altar of repose, where you can go and worship Jesus and be with him in the garden. And try and be awake with him. And this is something that we're going to be doing. We'll be kind of taking time, like one of us will stay. Some of us will go home and put the little ones to bed. But even some of our older children appreciate this evening and spending this time in silence with Christ leading up to his passion tomorrow.
It's an opportunity to bring consolation to the heart of Jesus. You know, be with Jesus in the garden as you are with him in the real presence in your church. The apostles, those who were close to him, closest to him, ran from him. People still run from him. Those who Jesus died for reject him. They run from him. And as the apostles ran and it brought great grief to his heart, it still brings great grief to his heart when those who he died for still reject him. Mm-hmm. And so we can be with Jesus in that garden. Our presence can be a great consolation to him. But I really encourage you, go to your church in adoration and spend time with him.
And if you don't have that opportunity, you can even do something in your home where you maybe you have a statue of Jesus or something, and maybe you have some plants and you want to set them up so that it kind of feels a bit more like a garden, and just spend some time in contemplation about Jesus in the garden. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Since then, we have learned that charity is the way to follow God most closely, and the quickest way to find him. The soul understands God better when it lives charity with greater refinement, for God is love, and it is ennobled more and more in the measure in which it grows in this theological virtue. The first thing that stood out to me was that I never realized that Christ gave this commandment right after the Last Supper. Or like during that, this whole, I just didn't place it in chronologically. When did he say that? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this is really important. I knew it was important, but that it was really important. Like when you think of your last words, and Christ would have known that these were going to be some of his last conversations with the apostles, that this is a really important commandment. And I think I'm still learning, and I think I'll always be learning what charity really is. Because sometimes I think we think charity means, you know, you give to charity. It seems pretty easy.
Well, I think also that what Jesus has just washed their feet. Mm-hmm. So that's the context and order of things. Can you imagine what it would be like to wash the feet of people, your friends, who are going to run away from you? Mm. You're holding their feet in their hands. And I imagine Jesus thinking of all the last 3 years, where have these feet walked? What have these feet seen? Peter's feet. These feet have walked on water. I call them from the shore to be a fisher of men. But these feet have done so much. And imagine getting to the feet of Judas, who Judas's feet Jesus is holding in his hands. And he's washing his feet, a job reserved for the lowest slave. And that is where Jesus is, washing Judas's feet, thinking all the beautiful places and all the beautiful things these feet have seen. And then he thinks, and soon these feet will run out of here clean and deny me for 30 pieces of silver. Mm. I love this man. I love these feet. And as Jesus worked himself all the way around that table that evening, I imagine him doing this. And I think, who am I in there? Am I one of those apostles where Jesus has bent down and washed his feet? Have I ever been Judas and sold Jesus out? I don't know. I just offered my ramblings for your consideration.
This Holy Thursday, we can ask ourselves, as we come to the end of this period of prayer, if those people around us, where we spend the greater part of our lives, know that we are disciples of Christ by the amiable, understanding, and welcoming approach we have in dealing with them. If we try never to lack charity in thought, word, or deed. If we know to make things up with them when we have treated others badly. If we show those around us many signs of affection, such as warmth, appreciation, words of encouragement, fraternal correction when necessary, the habitual smile and good humor, details of service, and a little help of the sort that goes unnoticed. This love is not something reserved for important matters, but must be exercised above all in the ordinary circumstances of daily life. I love that. Yeah. I feel like, do the people that we spend time with know that we are followers of Christ?
The way I understand that is not so much how I interact with those spontaneous once in a while interactions mm-hmm. with the That's public, true. But with those people I see regularly. And who are those people in your life? Those people in your life are probably different than ours because we're not spending our time with the same people. This is the person I spend time with. You are the person I spend the majority of my time mm-hmm. in life. Mm-hmm. We work out at home. Here. And then next is our children. So then I look at what we've just read.
The habitual smile and good humor.
Like the habitual smile and good humor with our kids. I sometimes struggle to pull out a smile, mm-hmm. especially in the morning. This morning, it was harder. I think I was up two times during the night. Just wake ups. This happens when you have little kids. A soother falls out. Someone wets their bed. Someone has a bad dream. That's just life for us. And I get up, Janelle doesn't, because Janelle has a little hearing impairment. So she
the benefits of having a hearing impairment, he hears everything first.
So it's not an exaggeration. Janelle wears a hearing aid once in a while. So anyways, I get to hear them first. When I wake up, I find I'm tired and I find it harder to smile when I'm tired. But that's my duty, to smile when I'm tired. Mm-hmm. To be in good humor when I'm tired. Mm-hmm. To be in good humor when I'm cranky. To be in good humor when one of our children is complaining the 10th time in the morning about how they don't want to go to school or because they have an ache or pain or because of something. I need to be in good humor. I need to smile. Yes, I need to have the fraternal correction as mentioned in there. That's part of being a parent. But I got to do it with the eyes of love.
Mm. I think most people watching would probably, like, their surroundings wouldn't necessarily be similar to ours.
Yeah.
You would probably be working.
Yeah.
Be in a work environment. But you're constantly interacting with different people. And in those situations, do you feel like you can have that habitual smile? Do you feel that when you do something wrong, can you go and, you know, make it right? Do people see you living out your Christian life?
Do they know you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. That is one thing I want to make sure my children know when they look to their father. Mm-hmm. I want to leave more in my children than to my children. So that means I want them to have the ability to be in union with Jesus. I've given everything they need for that. The material things, well, I hope they get blessed, but I hope more so that they find Jesus. And the way they're going to do that is if I love the way Jesus has loved me. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lesson of Holy Thursday. So thank you for listening today. Please comment below and share with us your thoughts. We, again, love to learn from you. Say the rosary with us right up there. And tomorrow we will see you on Good Friday. God bless you. Mm-hmm.